Hello and welcome back to the UFO and Aliens podcast. I'm your host, Rick Black. Hope everything's going well with you. Thanks for listening. Everything is fine with me. The weather is really nice here. I guess this is why I put up with the really hot summers. I took Charlie for a walk a few days ago and saw this beautiful blue heron. I stopped to take a picture. Took about four pictures. And then Charlie, I guess she forgot she was on the leash. She took off after it. And she hit the end of the line so hard it actually broke her collar. This is one tough dog. Didn't even faze her. She trotted back like nothing had even happened. I had to go back to the house without a leash, hoping we wouldn't run into anybody on the way, say anything about our dog being not on a leash. We made it home without incident, and I got out an old collar for her. Every day here is an adventure. Last week, I mentioned I needed to do another episode on alien abductions. Well, here it is. The abduction phenomenon is really intriguing. There have been an estimated 3 million Americans who have reported being abducted by aliens. Many of these accounts have similar details. The same description of the abductors, UFOs being observed beforehand, missing time, temporary paralysis, and so forth. Skeptics say that these people are experiencing a certain sleep disorder. So right off the bat, we have people coming forward with stories of being abducted by aliens in the night, and they truly believe what they are saying. But are they remembering an actual alien encounter, or was it a realistic nightmare? Today I'm going to go over a particular case, the abduction of Kelly Cahill. We're going to go back down under to Australia. Man, there's a lot of things going on in Australia. In August 1993, 27-year-old Kelly Cahill and her husband and three children drive to a friend's house in the mountains for a little girl's birthday party. It's about an hour and a half away. It was just after dark, and they were almost there, about a half an hour out, just after 7. This area is mostly fields, and then you run into a major shopping center. And Kelly's looking out the window as her husband drives, and she sees a ring of orange lights in a field. It was the first time that she'd seen anything like this. At first, she didn't say anything because she thought her husband would tease her. But then she decides to say something. She says, "I swear I saw a UFO." And he said, "Don't be stupid. It was probably a helicopter." She said, "It wasn't making any noise. It was just sitting on the ground." He made a few remarks, and they forgot all about it. And the next thing, they arrived at their friend's house. At the party, the friends bring up her sighting, and they kind of make a joke about it, and that's it. She forgot about the whole thing. And they went on with the party, and everything was normal. They went out, and they played bingo, and they came back. And that's when things started to get a little wonky. They couldn't agree on when they left. Her husband said that they must have left at 1 o'clock because they got home at 2:30 in the morning. But Kelly is sure that they left at 11:45. She remembers this because of the drama. They got back from bingo at 11 and didn't stay long because their friend's daughter's boyfriend broke up with her and went home with a new girlfriend. She was upset and crying, and they didn't want to stay. So they weren't there for that long after that. So they left. They were driving home on the same road that they came earlier on when they saw this ring hovering above the road in front of them. It was just sitting there, and they didn't know what it was. It wasn't like the orange light that she had seen in the field earlier. It was round with some sort of glass around it. It looked like it had windows and lights around the bottom. They couldn't quite make out the details because of the dark, but as they got closer, they noticed there was absolutely no noise. Her husband says, "You're right. That's something. That's very, very strange." She says back to him, "I swear there's people in there." And right after that, it took off and left incredibly fast. It disappeared almost instantly. Within a split second, it was gone. They kept driving. They had gone about a mile when they saw this really bright light ahead of them. Kelly put her hand up to shield the light. It was that bright. She squinted through the window, but she couldn't see anything. She said to her husband, "What are you going to do?" He said, "I'm going to keep driving." And that's the last thing she remembered. She said in an interview, quote, "I knew I was going to see a UFO, you know. I just knew it because of what we had seen. I'd seen it twice in one night, and he had seen it once. And the adrenaline is pumping, the heart is thumping, I'm so excited. All of a sudden, I'm sitting in the car, and I'm saying to my husband, "What happened?" And he says to me, "I don't know, we must have gone around a corner or something," end quote. By the time they got home, they believed that something had happened, but they didn't know what. Kelly swears that she blacked out. One minute, their hearts are racing, and the next, nothing. One thing in particular that bothered Kelly was that she could smell vomit. She didn't know where the smell was coming from, but she was sure that that was what she was smelling. She was arguing about this with her husband about half the way home. It started to get ridiculous. She ended up just going quiet because she wanted to stop the fighting. The two argued regularly, and she just wanted to stop. About 20 minutes from their house, Kelly saw a figure standing on the side of the road, a tall, dark figure. It was only for a couple of seconds, and she didn't relate it to anything until much later. But it made her turn her head. This figure kind of creeped out Kelly a little bit. She kept it in her mind because it reminded her of a story she was told when she was a little girl about the headless horseman on the side of the road. Because it was on the side of the road. It wasn't headless or anything, just a tall black figure. She only saw it for a couple of seconds, and then she couldn't see it anymore. But she thought she saw it. So they get home that night. Kelly had a dream about UFOs. When she gets up the next morning, the memory of the previous night's adventures are almost gone. Kelly and her husband argued about what happened for part of the way home. They agreed they saw a UFO, but can't agree on the feeling Kelly had experiencing a blackout or missing time and seeing people. They could also both smell vomit. Each of them experienced unexplained stomach pain. For Kelly, it was like a pain from a severe muscle fatigue, which radiated from her lower abdomen to her upper shoulders. Later, after they got home, Kelly experienced menstrual bleeding and became quite ill. She had had her period only the week before. Eventually, she entered the hospital with a womb infection. The doctors said she must have been pregnant. Either that, or she had had some kind of gynecological operation. In fact, she had had neither in recent times. A strange triangular mark was also found on her abdomen, along with a scar. She went back to the hospital about 6 weeks later because she was having abdominal pain. They performed a laparoscopy to find out what was going on. The triangle mark was still there. They actually did the laparoscopy right next to it and didn't say anything about it. Kelly started remembering what she experienced during her blackout, but it didn't come from aggressive hypnotherapy. She had actually done a hypnotherapy session, but it didn't really reveal anything of significance. Kelly thought that she had only been lightly under, and she felt the session had been of little value. What she remembers about August 8th is, she was crossing the road to the paddock, and she saw a dark figure with glowing red eyes. Then she saw many tall figures with glowing red eyes. They seemed to be gliding toward her very quickly. The large group split into two groups, one focused on Kelly and her husband, and the other group went after the other people who had also crossed further down the road. The rest of her memory is fragmented and confusing. She experienced voices and blindness. So how did the memory in her missing time come back, you ask? Because the regressive hypnotherapy didn't really work. Well, she went to a girlfriend's place a few weeks after the event, and the subject of UFOs came up, and Kelly's friend's husband was saying, "Oh, I don't think they really exist." And it was her husband that said, "If you'd seen what Kelly and I saw, you might change your mind." Kelly said, "What are you talking about?" Obviously, she didn't remember anything that happened that night. She didn't even remember the bright UFO that was hovering in the middle of the road. It had totally left her mind. She was thinking back to try to recall what he was talking about. Then he said, "Remember, on the way home from your friend's house, remember it wasn't making any noise?" She sat there. She couldn't remember. And then, a few days later, all of a sudden, Kelly remembered. And she remembered going into the light. And then she couldn't remember anything else. A few weeks after that, It started to bother her because she remembered that light, and she remembered arguing with her husband all the way home. But that was all she remembered. They went to her friend's house again in October, this time for her other daughter's birthday, and again they went to bingo. On the way home from bingo that night, they went along the same road, and as they passed a particular spot, an incredible feeling of terror ran through her. All of a sudden, she just started remembering, and by the next morning, she had recalled just about everything that happened, except she still can't account for the missing time. And this is what she remembers. When they saw the light, they actually drove into the light, but the road curved. So the light they thought was in the middle of the road was actually off to the side of the road. It was in the field, and it was massive. She said it was the size of a house, maybe 50 meters. Kelly and her husband had a clear, uninterrupted view of a craft of enormous size. It was much larger than the UFO seen a few minutes earlier, and it was at ground level in the field at the bottom of a gully area. Kelly asked her husband to stop the car. They both got out. She remembered leaning back in, actually on the floor, to pick up her handbag, because she didn't go anywhere without her handbag. And that's what helped trigger these memories. She remembers telling herself, "You are conscious. This is real. This is happening. This is real." And she says, quote, "For a while, it was just absolutely terrifying. But you can't help because it sounds really wacky. I mean, this is not the way it's supposed to happen at all." End quote. They crossed the road, they jumped the gutter, and they walked up. Kelly looked down the road, and there was another car. A light blue car pulled up. Some people got out and went across the road. She only thought it was two, but it was actually three. But Kelly was more interested in what was in front of her. She's standing there looking at this thing for about 30 seconds when all of a sudden there's a black figure on the field. It's about 7 feet tall. Kelly expected to see a human being, but it was not human. Kelly tried to use thought as a means of communication. She was immediately overwhelmed with fear. Its eyes seemed to turn to a red fire. It started moving towards them, slowly. And they had big red eyes. Kelly said, quote, "It sounds stupid, but it had great big round eyes, like a huge fly's eyes. And they were red, like not like a reflection of red, but like burning red, like fluorescent stop signs. I suppose that sort of real burning red," end quote. Kelly started screaming to her husband, "They've got no souls." Then there's not just one, but a bunch of those tall figures in the field, and they start coming towards them. They're moving faster than a man could run, and they were gliding off the ground. They got halfway across the field, and they split up. Some of them went towards the other group of people, and some towards Kelly and her husband. Kelly screamed to the other people down the road, "They're evil! They're going to kill us!" Then Kelly was struck by some sort of force that knocked her to the ground. She described it like the wind being knocked out of her. She heard her husband say, "Let go of me." And she heard terror in his voice for the first time. Her husband wasn't afraid of anything, but she could hear the fear in his voice that night. Then she heard a male voice say, "We don't mean you any harm." And her husband answered, "Why did you hit Kelly then?" Then Kelly felt like she was going to be sick and then must have passed out. But she doesn't remember actually being sick. She does remember hearing talk about being a peaceful people. And she starts screaming out, "Don't believe them! They're going to steal your souls!" Then she remembers hearing one of them say, "I wouldn't harm her. She's my daughter." And Kelly thinks what she is hearing is sarcasm, because when she first saw them, she began to pray. So she thinks they are being sarcastic. She thinks she even heard a small laugh after the comment. Kelly starts screaming and going on about demons trying to steal people's souls, and she hears, "Would somebody do something about her?" Then she felt a hand touch her shoulder. It was quite gentle. Then Kelly snapped. She's still sitting on the ground. She couldn't see anything, but she made sure her eyes looked fierce, and she started screaming out, "How dare you do this to innocent people?" And she was screaming out stupid things, and she told them to go back where they came from. And the next thing she remembered, she was sitting in the car. She still had missing time. When she found herself sitting in the car, her last memory was of driving into the light. When Kelly gets home that night, she had a bizarre dream. This dream is of interest in that it emerged within hours of the encounter, and it places Kelly back in the encounter. The subsequent dreamings do not have this quality about them. However, they were unusual in their own way. In the first dream, Kelly's on the side of the road with her head between her knees. She becomes aware that she can see again. A being is leading her husband down the slope onto the field. Throughout the dream, she is unable to see the beings above the level of their elbows. Their limbs seem long and thin. She becomes convinced that the being with her husband is female. She tackles it and then blacks out. In the dream, she once again regains consciousness to find herself on the extreme right of the field with the UFO further down the field to the left. Before her on the ground is a still body, at first non-human, then changing to human. A middle-aged woman standing further down the field is screaming at her, "Murderess! Murderess!" And she is overcome with grief, with no awareness of having killed anyone. Still in the dream, a hand on her shoulder leads her, and she follows obediently. Eventually, Kelly becomes aware that she is in a small room, with only a small table and a being standing before her. The being tells her she did not kill anyone, and they had to use her sense of morality to overcome her fear. Kelly has a profound feeling that she knows this being. On a table behind the being is a Bible, one of hers, which had disappeared a few weeks before. The being gives Kelly a strange choice, which deepens her suspicion of the being's motives. She is told she can come, but must leave the Bible behind. In the dream, the being gives her this Bible. The dream ends at that point. A few days after the encounter, her husband found the Bible in the car. The dreamings mentioned earlier, first interpreted as something like a ghostly episode, take on a bizarre perspective when Kelly's recollections flooded back. The first two preceded the point when more complete recall of the events of August 8th returned. This story is really out there. Just reading through Kelly's perspective, I lean towards it all being in her head. Her dreams, like everybody's dreams, are very strange and made up of pieces of her experiences with the strange twists. I had a dream last night that I was standing in front of an air conditioner vent in my room that could push me across the room like I was flying. So, dreams can be very weird. I would say this is all in her head, except that there are other witnesses. There was a married couple and their friend, plus a possible other observer in a third car. The women in the group seemed to play a dominant role. Bill, the male witness in the group, appears, like Kelly's husband, to have had only limited involvement. The two women consciously recalled onboard episodes. They remembered the UFO and the tall black beings. Their description did not feature the red eyes Kelly saw. There were some other things I found interesting in this story. Just before they had their UFO experience in August, from July through September of 1993, small orange fireballs, about the size of tennis balls, frequently hit the windows of the house. Kelly, her husband, and her mother witnessed the phenomena. About 2.5 years earlier, at Lalor, Kelly had a particular dream in which she moved through a flesh-like hourglass apparatus. The same night, she experienced a vision of opening the back door and seeing a light for a few seconds. Then she blacked out. Kelly experienced the same sense of power she felt in the field in August 1993. After the encounter, and until July of 1994, the Cahill House, which was built in 1949, had been the scene of fleeting observations of tall shadows seen by both Kelly and her husband. And finally, a bad smell occasionally permeated the house and seemed to move around. There's a lot to digest with this case. This seems to be a cross with UFOs, extraterrestrials, and the otherworldly. The term high strangeness isn't enough to describe this one. What do you think? This one is just too far out there for me to get on board with. I don't think Kelly made this up. It has so many details, but with all the dreams mixed in with paranormal goings-on in the house, I don't think I can believe this one. Of course, you can make up your own mind. Do more research. There's a lot more out there than I've shared here. Believe none of what you hear and half of what you read. If you like the show, I would like to encourage you to help support the show. You can help me out with just $3 a month. Just go to the website and click on support. I would really appreciate the help and would happy to give you a shout out. Do you have a UFO story you'd like to share? Is there a UFO story that you'd like for me to look into? Just send me an email at ufoandalienpodcast@gmail.com. I'm Rick Black, and I'll talk to you next time.